Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sun Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. QT and Sun Guy back with you like usual. Some show notes if you're looking for some wrestling. Tonight, WCWO in Indianapolis like usual. PWA in Campbell River, BC. APW in Royston, Georgia. AMW in Happy, Kentucky. ECW in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. SCW in St. Paul, Minnesota, and ASW in McDonald, Tennessee. Tomorrow night, Lucha Libre Volcanica in our neck of the woods in Seattle, ECCW in Port Coquitlam, BC, WCWF in Yuba City, California, IPW in Valparaiso, Florida, Wrestle Club in Garden City, Idaho, USWA in Jacksonville, Florida, PWK in Peru, Indiana, SCW in Walcott, Iowa, NYWC in Deer Park, New York, SWO in Red Lion, Pennsylvania, APW in Claiborne, Texas, and MIAW in South Milwaukee, Wisconsin tomorrow. Oh, QT, while we're waiting for our guest, I want to also remind the fans that Sean Kemp from the aforementioned WCWO, among other promotions, has brand new Frisbees available. You can pick up a Sean Kemp Frisbee wherever you see Sean Kemp performing. Get to the merchandise stand soon because I'm sure he's going to run out of those really fast. A popular item, not since the likes of Lanny Poffo, QT, have we seen a wrestler selling a Frisbee.
Wow, now some guy, will Sean Kemp be giving out some of these Frisbees free for promotional stuff? Yes.
Don't think effort. He's going to give you a free Frisbee, QT. You need to pony up a few dollars to get one.
Now, what is the price range of his Frisbees, and does he have an advanced model, a superior model, and a mid-range model?
I believe it's one standard Frisbee, and I'm not exactly sure of the price, but I do know if you cover the shipping, he'll gladly mail you one.
Wow, all right, okay. Now, do they come in three basic colors, or can you choose your color?
I think it's up to Sean as far as his availability on what he has in stock at a given moment.
Now, why haven't we, when we go to blue-collar wrestling, why hasn't any blue-collar wrestlers produced their own line of Frisbees? I mean, a year ago or 2 years ago, I would have loved a Buddy Highway Frisbee. Yes.
Well, you'll have to take that up with some of the blue-collar wrestling stars and ask them why they haven't produced a Frisbee for you. Imagine the joy on people's faces if there were no exact winner's Frisbee.
Wow. What would you rather prefer to have if you had to choose, a Tex Thompson Frisbee or a Just Exciting Frisbee?
I think a Just Exciting Frisbee might make a little bit more sense, but you know, we also want to send our well wishes out to Tex Thompson. He just had another surgery today. He was found out to have stage 1 cancer. It looks like hopefully they got all of it out of him, and we want to wish him well as he recovers.
Wow, yeah, that's pretty serious. Yes. Any idea of where he is convalescing? What hospital? if someone wants to visit him.
Hopefully no stalkers go chasing after him, but I believe he's actually home now. I believe they released him earlier today. It was a quick outpatient thing, and he's on his way. They're going to check the results, make sure nothing spread anywhere else, but they think it was localized, and it was going to be pretty easy to take care of. So hopefully that is the case for Tex.
Okay, that's good.
Okay. Well, Sign Guy, people are starting to talk about our upcoming interview with Charlie Mercury Sable, scheduled for April 8th. A massive amount of homework assignments have been given to Charlie Sable, including a recent one where you gave him the homework assignment of Rick Martel versus Frank Dusik, in the Portland Wrestling.
That was Martel's Portland debut. Rick Martel going on to have a fantastic run in Portland. He was a Pacific Northwest heavyweight champion. He was Pacific Northwest tag team champion with Roddy Piper. Was a big star here way before he won the world's title in the AWA.
And what's the first question about this video that you're going to ask Charlie Sable about if he does indeed do his homework assignment?
Well, if he doesn't, I'm sure he's going to get punished in some way. But hopefully he will do his homework, and maybe I'll ask him something to do with Frank Dusik from the famous Dusik family.
Oh, very nice. Okay. That's very good. Wow, that's okay. Now, Sign Guy, you were in Blue Collar Wrestling last week, and it was standing room only. Rumors have it that over 300 people attended.
That is accurate. It was well over 300 people live on iPay-per-view on the Fight TV network. Huge show. They kept running out of chairs at least twice that I personally witnessed. They had to go into the back of the building and pull out more chairs to take out to the arena so people had places to sit. They kept running out of chairs, which is always a good sign for any promotion.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, they hold some of these chairs in a closet right next to the men's bathroom, a chair closet.
I believe they actually ran out of those first. They pulled all of those, ran out of them, and then had to go to the back of the building and get more.
Oh, okay. Well, where would they go second?
Well, you know, that's undisclosed, but I believe our guest has joined us. Do we have with us the long-awaited Dave Dynasty?
Yeah, we do. I don't know about long-awaited, but it is indeed Dave Dynasty. Yeah. So.
Well, I've been waiting for 8 years to get you on here, so I'm going to qualify that as long-awaited.
Yeah, okay. Well, I guess that's sufficient then. How you doing, Sign Guy?
Doing very well. Thank you for being with us here on a Friday afternoon. Now, since it's your first time with us, shockingly, your first time here with us today, we're going to have to give you the first-timer's question.
All right.
What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
Well, I was always a wrestling fan. Ever since I can remember, my grandma watched wrestling, so I watched it with her. And then when I started going to later, when I was a little older, and I started going to the local shows in the area, of course, it was HPW at Jerry Wilson. I finally got kind of struck up a conversation with Jerry, got to know him a little bit, and started out. I offered to help with the flyers, the programs, things like that, did that for a while, and then one day he approached me and asked if I wanted to become a manager and do a managing bit. And, of course, I jumped at the chance, and that's when the ball really got rolling.
I was there during those days, and you eventually did pretty much everything that there is to do in wrestling. Sort of like myself, you've done just about every role that there is. When you first did an actual
job for the promotion when you were first working for HPW, in your head, was that going to lead to you branching out the way you did, or were you happy with just the original role that you had?
No, I was very happy in that role. The first time I did anything in front of that crowd, I came out there, did my little shtick, badmouth Jerry, and he, I believe, maybe took the sign from you and hit me over the head with it. It was somebody. It was a cookie sheet type deal, type gimmick, and I was on cloud nine after that. I was hooked. I thought I could do this for the rest of my life. I had no plans beyond just doing the manager thing, but you know, things just kind of grew and naturally evolved and branched out and everything. But now it was kind of a day by day. There was no real plans after to do anything but that originally.
That was me. I'm sorry if it hurt.
Yeah. I survived. I took worse shots. Actually, the next month I took Roy Presley's guitar. That was a little rougher than the cookie sheet.
Yeah, I've survived a Roy Presley shot myself. And now, if you go to the HPW Arena to this very day, here in the year Our Lord 2018, you will see where my face actually dented that cement floor.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah.
An actual thing. I thought the boys were ribbing me for 2 years, but nope. There it is, right in the middle of the floor.
Yeah, it'll every fair goer that ever passed through that building will see the sign guy dent, won't they?
They will. I pull young green kids over all the time when I go out there, and I say, "Look at that. That's where my face landed."
Yeah, that's a.
Well, here in recent times, in the last year and a half, you started up your own show, the Dave mm-hmm. Dynasty Show. It is really taking off. It has evolved from what it was in episode one to where we are in current times. And you have a host of people that work on that show with you. And
yep.
You've changed the focus mainly to the Midwest, a lot of Bruiser era stuff gets brought up on there. A lot of guests took part in the Bruiser era of wrestling. You talk to a lot of the local independent guys. You now talk to people that had been independent mainstays that we may not have seen for a while. You have Mance Warner on there. You have Man Bun on there.
Mm-hmm.
What's been the evolution of the Dave Dynasty Show like for you?
It's been pretty wild. When I first started, we really didn't have a lot of focus. It was just kind of me and Ike just chatting about wrestling, carrying on. But we were all over the place. And I don't know, it just talking about, you know, the WWE and what have you, just it really wasn't my thing. And everybody does it. There's a million podcasts out there that do that. So I started, I can't even remember who it would be. It might have been Bobo Brazil Jr. maybe was kind of our first local kind of a legend of the Midwest kind of guy. And when we talked to him, we thought, oh, we'll start this little series of, you know, of legends of the Midwest. And as we did some of those, that's what everybody wanted to hear. They wanted that focus. So that's when we kind of decided just to shift over and just do Midwest only. And we don't just talk to the legends. We talk to young guys too, but everyone's got to have some form of a tie to the Midwest. Whether that's where they primarily work or whether that's where they're from or something like that. But, and we do some classic audio clips and things like that. A lot of WWA, a lot of Bruiser, a lot of AWA stuff, things like that. And then as we went from there, I did a show with Dr. Jerry Graham Jr. We had him on. And, man, he had so many stories and everything else. And just talking to him after, not even on the show, I just said, you know, you should do this regularly, and he was all for it. So we once a month, me and him do one, do a Graham's Gallery, and we just add to it. And now we've got plans to do a monthly kind of an AWA show, talk about some of the history of that, and maybe have some of those guests on. So it just keeps rolling, keeps growing, keeps evolving, and we're just kind of riding it where it takes us.
Well. I believe there's a game that we like to play on this show that is absolutely tailor-made for you.
Right.
So I think this one's going to be absolute gold here. We have a sound bite we play before we play the game, so let me hit the sound bite.
Okay.
I tell you, one of my favorite moments is me and my little brother and Jerry Wilson, we went down to TNA at Nashville, and we got in there, and I just happened to be in the bathroom using the bathroom, and I was talking to Chase Stevens, which I'd known him when he first started wrestling there as Glacius, you know, I helped him get a start, and I was talking to him, and all of a sudden this voice, it comes out of the shitter.
Everybody that's anybody has an Ox Harley moment. Yeah. I know you have to have one. What is Dave Dynasty's Ox Harley moment?
Well, my Ox Harley moment is Ox Harley was my last match in the ring. I was the HPW champion. I was having a lot of neck injuries, which I would just put up with for several years. I had neck fusion surgery just last year, finally. But at that time, I went and saw doctors. They told me I either needed to hang it up or further consequences. So I was too young, decided I needed to quit before the neck got worse. But my last match was at the J.D. Byrider there in Columbus, Indiana, where I dropped the belt to Ox Harley. And we got in there, you know, we did our thing, and I can't remember what it was, but I blew a spot pretty early in the match, and Ox didn't like that, and Ox got pissed at me, and he gave me the what for, chewed me out there in the ring, got a little stiff with me, and we kind of cut the match short, but it's all good. We've talked many times since, but that's kind of my Ox Harley moment. Personally, I also remember once out at H, I can't remember the guy's name, some kid. He didn't work very long. He didn't last very long. He did kind of a Raven type gimmick, and some match, he took an Ox DDT, and he popped right back up, didn't sell it, and Ox proceeded to wrap a chair around his head, and he was laid out the rest of the night in the back. He come to sometime later, but yeah, he disrespected Ox, and Ox made him pay a little bit, but yeah, that's my personal Ox Harley moment, is that he was my last actual in-ring match that I ever did many years ago, so...
That is definitely an Ox Harley moment for sure, to get a dressing down from Ox in the middle of a match.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was hot. It was out in that ring outside, and, oh, man, it was so hot. It was miserable. Anyway, but, yeah, I don't know what happened. I can't remember what the spot was, but, I blew it, and Ox didn't like it. So.
Now, that sounded like a hard match, but... On the Dave Dynasty show, I'm sure just like us, sometimes some guys are a little bit harder to interview than others.
Mm-hmm.
You've talked to a wide variety of people on the Dave Dynasty show. Who would you say might have been the hardest interview that you've had to date?
Everybody's pretty willing to talk. Some of the young guys don't quite know what to say, and they don't quite have the story, so I think they falter. But we interviewed Russian Brute, who wrestled a little for Bruiser, a little in the AWA, had a lot of connection with Ox Baker, his interview was kind of peculiar. He was really trying to work Ike and didn't crack, and I don't know. It was kind of awkward, and it didn't flow very well. We went ahead. We actually thought about not releasing it, and I thought, well, you know, why not? We'll put it out there. But I had kind of high hopes given some of the stories he had, but he wasn't cracking much, and he was really working Ike, and the stories weren't that great, and it didn't really flow. We didn't really get a lot out of him, but. I think that was probably our most, probably our most difficult interview that we've done so far.
I can definitely see that with the Russian Brute. He was an interesting person to talk to the one time I came across him.
Yeah.
Now, of course, here in the present time with the Dave Dynasty show, you've talked to a lot of big names, guys that have been on television, Bruiser Era TV, WWE TV, what have you. But you also have worked on live shows with a lot of bigger names over the course of your career in various different roles. Who would you say are some of the bigger names that have helped influence Dave Dynasty?
Well, as far as influences, there's a lot of guys that I've never really per se worked with. When I first started managing, I flat out, I made no bones that I was trying to be a Jim Cornette ripoff, and he's still an influence on me to today. Guys that kind of had an impact on me in the ring that I actually worked with or around, I would say probably the greatest was I once worked Dutch Mantel in HPW, and I was super nervous working Dutch, and but he was really great. He showed me a lot of how to slow down, how to milk things, and it was probably the easiest match I ever had, and we really didn't do hardly anything. But he kind of taught me. He was kind of the first guy to kind of taught me some of that side, how, you know, sometimes less is more, how you can get more reaction without having to do any big high spot. And that kind of has always stuck with me, you know, that psychology and that the goal of working the crowd and doing it from that avenue. And it was kind of a big deal because I was always a Dutch fan from, you know, all the way back in his days in Memphis and stuff. So it was very cool to get in there with him. And I remember, you know, pretty early on, I was in that match, I was kind of going full bore at it and backed him into a corner, went to whip him across. He grabbed the ropes and said he wasn't gonna work the ropes that much. He didn't want to get blown up. So I don't think we did anything off the ropes, anything, you know, anything like that. I said a few things during the match to him. I didn't know his reaction, but he loved him. He kept pushing me to say more, do a little more trash talking. It felt awkward to me because I felt like I should have given him some respect, even when I was in character. But that was probably my, I don't know, one of my most groundbreaking times in the ring was working Dutch, where he kind of taught me. A light kind of clicked with some things, you know, working with. I mean, we didn't really speak before the match. We just went out there and did it, you know, very old school, you know, and it was I really enjoyed it. It really kind of turned on some lights for me, it opened some doors.
Now, when you look at the history of Hoosier Pro Wrestling, which will be 20 years old in November, mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that went on to sign with the major companies, WWE in particular. Ox Harley had several contracts with them. Flash Flanagan mm-hmm. had a few contracts with them. Jillian Hall was there for many years. Jason Ayers is there to this day. Sarah Logan and Ruby Riott, both HPW alumni. Dutch, who you just mentioned, had a couple of different big runs there in WWE. A lot of talent passed through HPW and went on to bigger, better things. What do you think it is about HPW where so many of the people there were able to transition to the biggest stage in the industry?
I think it's just, you know, Jerry's done it for a long time. I mean, you're saying, you know, 20 years doing what he does. I very rarely, if, you know, I don't know how many times he's had to, you know, miss a show or miss a month or anything. You know, that's pretty uncommon. And you know, he's got a lot of connections and you know, there's a lot there. And I just think it's that, you know, people, there's, you know, a lot of people want to work there because of that longevity. For a time period, there wasn't many other places to work in the area. I mean, it was, you know, one of the only companies there in central Indiana that was doing it, you know, regularly and everything. And, yeah, I mean, he's, a lot of those guys that has come through, you know, it's just Jerry had personal relationships with them, he's worked with them, you know, down in Atlanta and in different things he did. When he was, you know, doing the photography thing. And, I think that's just, it's through those connections, you know, he met some of those guys and gave them some work when they were young. and gave them that chance, and you know they just went on from there. It's pretty wild to see some of them, you know, when you work with them and to see where they wound up and how much they, you know, how much they grew, how much they changed, and how much they developed. You know, like you mentioned, Jillian Hall. It was, I mean, when I remember working her when she was Mercedes and there in HPW, and it was like, it's, you know, when you saw her years later, a few years later on WWE TV, it was like a totally different person. I mean, not just the physical aspects, but I mean just the development in her character, and the, you know, and you could see those bits in her, and then to see her actually, you know, get that chance on that stage. So, you know, and most of them, I don't, you know, I think they remember where they came from and those chances they got, you know, the, not just Jerry, but in HPW, but you know, there's lots of groups out there that give these guys the chance to when they start to, you know, to get some experience, to get some ring time. And that's, you know, everybody starts, for the most part, starts, you know, in a small local promotion in their area like that. So,
absolutely. Well, at this point, we have a different game we like to play. I think you're also perfect for this one. We call it Word Association. I will throw out the names of some people that you more than likely have come across in your career. And the first word or two that pops into your head is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of word association?
I am. Let's give it a try.
All right. The first one, Mance Warner.
Mance Warner. Man, the first word that comes to mind with Mance Warner is potential. I met Mance right out of School of Rock and booked him on some shows. And I just told him, you know, he's got to, you know, always told him he's got to turn it up, let it out. And first time I heard him talk, I thought it was amazing. And that's why I gave him the platform on my show. Man, that kid's got all the upside in the world. And he'll be that next guy that you see on TV that came from the area.
Randy West.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Randy West.
Randy Rust?
West.
Randy West, I'm sorry. He said Randy Rust. Like, who the heck's that? She's tough. I've never actually worked with her, but I've seen her a lot doing the bomb shelter thing and everything. And she's to me, got all the tools to do a lot more. I think you're finally starting to see her get some exposure in the area, in the region. But she's been doing it a while, and she does it well. And I think you'll continue to see her get more exposure and more attention on her in the future as, you know, more opportunities for women develop.
Jason Ayers.
Jason, one of the first guys I ever met in wrestling. Back when, I mean, he was reffing in HPW, and just, I don't even know if he was out of high school. He was so young. Man, he's a great dude. He deserves everything he gets. He worked his ass off for it to get there, put in the time, put in the sacrifices, and every time I see him on TV, it makes me happy.
Cousin Cooter.
Cousin Cooter. I remember Cooter coming in, starting for HPW. It wasn't too long after me, and it's kind of hard to believe that. You know, he continued to do that hillbilly gimmick when it was kind of seemed like it was kind of past the time, but it's always worked for him. Cooter was always a good dude, man. He's always loyal. He's dedicated. Do anything for you, and he's a good guy.
Jillian Hall.
Jillian Hall. She I remember her coming in. With Tiny Tim and some of Roger Ruffin's guys in the HPW from the Cincinnati area. She was one of the few women's wrestlers in the area. And in my eyes, she was clearly the best. And she was working a lot of intergender stuff then, and it really wasn't very common at that time. I worked several matches, singles, tags, six-man, everything else with her. It was always great, always smooth, always easy. And it was really cool to see her get her chance. You know, to move on and have a lot of success.
JT Branham.
JT Branham, one of the best guys that I've ever met in wrestling, has so much experience and knowledge and wisdom, and the best thing about him is he loves to share that knowledge and wisdom with other people. I've worked with him. I've worked for him. I've had him work for me on shows. I consider him a friend, a guy that I would trust. He's just, to me, one of the most genuine, smartest people that I've ever met in wrestling.
Ike Isaacs.
Ike Isaacs is a punk. That's all there is to it. He's not much else I can say about Ike. He's a pain in my side and always will be. I hear you're going to have Ike on at some point. I'm curious.
We
to see,
are.
I'm curious to see what he'll say about Dave Dynasty and the Word Association. So you may have to have the censor button ready.
I will keep that in mind. And for the record, April 20th is when we have Ike.
Ike. All right. Yeah. I'll actually be seeing Ike this weekend. Ike's a good dude. He's still young. He's a fun guy. I'll let him express what Ike Isaacs is when he's on your show.
All right, next one, Sean Kemp.
Sean Kemp is another, to me, one of the best young prospects in Indiana. There's a whole slew of these guys right now that are really killing it, working every many times a week, every weekend. Getting all over the area, starting to branch out in other areas, and Sean's got it all. He's got the charisma, he's got the work ethic. He works a real strong style that looks real good, and he's a good kid. I mean, he's been doing it since he was 13 years old or something like that. Him and Jonathan Wolf, so he's got a lot of potential, a lot of future. He's got a lot of great years ahead of him.
Cameron Starr.
Cameron is probably the women's wrestler from the Midwest that I have the most experience working with, both out at HPW and some in Shelbyville and different areas. And then she worked for me when I was running shows in North Vernon. And we had her doing a whole intergender angle there too, where she was managed by JT Branham. Do the whole thing where she was saying that she could beat guys, and we were running with that. And she was very talented, had a lot of charisma, played the smug heel right to a T. She was great. She's awesome.
Brian Class.
Who's that? Brian Class?
Yes.
I don't really have any experience with Brian. Not a lot to say there. I think you caught one that I don't really have a lot of firsthand experience to give a lot of feedback on.
All right, Jesse Houston.
Oh, Jesse Houston. See, most people probably don't even know who Outlaw Jesse Houston is, but Jesse is a guy I knew for a long time. We both got into wrestling there at HPW at the same time. Broke in with me managing him, and we ran for a long time. But as me managing him, me and him as tag partners, me and him as opponents, man, he's a really good dude. And I haven't talked to him for a long time, but he doesn't wrestle anymore. But I always loved that cowboy, that outlaw gimmick with guys, and he did a great job with it out there, and it was always a lot of fun working with him.
My final name, Wildfire Tommy Rich.
Oh, man. Tommy Rich, a guy I was always a fan of, always liked. And then he was kind of the first kind of name guy that I ever met that Jerry brought in. It was pretty early on when I started. And I remember when I first met him, it was just a few days before our show. And I went over to Jerry's, and I walked in, and he walked out and out at the barbecue thing, the barbecue grill, out kind of on the back patio. There was Tommy Rich grilling, and we sat there and grilled and drank and everything else. And I just thought that was the coolest thing in the world at that point, was meeting and hanging with Tommy Rich. And I've ran into him many times over the years working. Interviewed him on the podcast. He's got the school down in Myrtle Beach, which for a while did a sponsorship thing with us on the podcast. He's a good guy. I'm glad to see that he's doing well now, kind of cleaned up and healthy and having a good life and running the school down there in Myrtle Beach and kind of got a little revitalized now.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure QT has some questions. So does help you as I pass things along to QT.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Dave.
Hi there. Hey, I can hardly hear you. You're there?
Uh-oh. Am I running some interference?
No, I don't know.
Uh-oh. How about now?
Yep, I can hear you. Okay.
Oh, okay. Maybe I was too close to the computer. Okay.
Maybe.
Well, Dave, I also got hit by a cookie sheet at Hoosier Pro Wrestling in my famous Quattro Thumbtack match against Dave the Beast Burnett. Surely you have heard about this epic wrestling match that I had in Indiana.
I don't know. It's kind of like that last battle for Atlanta. You know, I think everybody's looking for the footage, but it's just nowhere to be found. But, the stories have reached mythological proportions.
Oh, okay. Yes, I'd like to think that it has reached kind of like a folklore status, kind of like your match with Ox Harley. That's what I would like.
Yeah. I don't know if folklore would quite be the right word for that, and so Ox probably doesn't even remember it, but we'll call it that.
Well, I will try to send you a video of my match with Dave the Beast Barnett, or maybe Sign Guy could also, and you can be a judge for yourself.
All right, sounds good.
Yes. Okay. All right. I also kind of worked with Cousin Cooter before the match. He's a very good man to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right. Well, Dave, we usually start out the second half of the show with a standard question. What's the hardest knife edge chop you've ever received in the ring, and was it from a female wrestler?
No, it was not. And I will, to be honest, I've taken them from Bobo Brazil Jr., from Dice Man Ronnie Vegas, from Austin James, from TJ Powers. All these guys I thought were caving my chest in. But the worst and the hardest I ever took was from Mr. Big. Sign Guy, you remember Mr. Big? They used to work HPW. Is he still in there?
I do.
Yeah, he got me one night, and I had his handprint on my chest for a week afterwards. And it was the worst I ever took.
I was going to say, ask if you ever had a knife edge shot from Madman Pondo.
No. Never got one for Pondo.
Oh, okay.
I can only imagine what that would be like.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that'd be pretty bad, yes. Okay. Well, Dave, did you turn out for sports in high school?
I played a little bit of football, and I did amateur wrestle a little bit. Just for a few years here and there, I don't know. I wasn't much on the I love sports, love watching, just not much on the participating in organized sports side.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna guess you were a defensive lineman in your brief high school career. Lineman.
I was a middle linebacker.
Oh.
Yeah. So close.
Middle linebacker.
Yeah, I liked hitting people.
Well, Kurt Angle was also a middle linebacker in his Pennsylvania high school. Did you know that?
I did not. I don't know. I think that's probably the first time I've ever been compared to Kurt Angle, probably the last time, too.
Well, he had a high school playing weight of about, he went right around, I think in high school, 5'10", 200 pounds.
Yeah.
He was very strong in the legs.
Yeah.
So Joe Paterno was so impressed by Kurt Angle in high school that he was going to have him come to Penn State. Did you know that?
I did not know that, no. That, imagine
no, okay.
how different things could have been.
Yes.
Yes, that's a boy, Penn State linebacker.
All right. Well, now on your wrestling, did you turn out for all 4 years of wrestling, or 3 years?
No. I think I wrestled 2 years, and late in the second season, I had I turned an ankle really bad, kind of put me on the shelf, and then I don't know, after that, I was kind of the end of it for me. I didn't wrestle after that.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to guess your first year you wrestled at 142 pounds.
Yeah, that's about right. It was right around somewhere in that 135 to 140 range in there. Yeah, that's where I wrestled.
Oh, very good. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what your record was?
I could not. I do not remember. It probably would not be anything to brag about. I wasn't that accomplished, but no, I do not remember.
Oh, okay. All right. So you probably don't remember your second year of wrestling, what your record was.
No, we weren't. I never wrestled like varsity or anything. It was always like JV in that second year. And then, like I said, I had the ankle thing. It kind of put me on the shelf for the last several meets. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Good. All right. Well, Dave, we here at Turnbuckle Turmoil play a game called Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk. And you have to choose between two subject matters. Are you ready to play this game?
Sure, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Harlem Heat or the Nasty Boys?
Oh, man. Okay, let's do the Nasty Boys.
Oh, okay. Now, who is your favorite Nasty Boy?
It's like picking the lesser of two evils there. Let's go with Knobs. We'll pick Knobs.
Oh, okay. Okay. Ric Flair or Buddy Rogers?
We'll go Flair. No disrespect to Rogers, but you know, Flair was my era, so.
Okay. All right. Dinty Moore beef stew or Hormel's chili and cheese?
Oh, we will go beef stew.
Oh. Okay. All right. Monty Python or Benny Hill?
Oh, Monty Python every time.
Oh, okay. All right. Battleship or aircraft carrier?
We'll do aircraft carrier.
Oh, okay. All right. World War II era aircraft carrier or Nimitz class? Nimitz class.
I don't know. Let's do World War II. I'm not sure the differences, but we'll go World War II.
Oh, okay. Well, they usually were steam driven. And, these new aircraft carriers, the Nimitz class, go 1,000 foot in length, 1,000, and have 6,000 sailors on them. Yes. Okay. All right. Playboy Buddy Rose or Goldust?
Oh, Playboy Buddy Rose.
Oh, okay. Very good choice. Very good. Easter or Thanksgiving?
We'll go Thanksgiving. We always take a Thanksgiving cruise every year. So I much more anticipate the Thanksgiving holiday.
Oh, a Thanksgiving cruise on sea?
On sea, yeah. Every year for that week, we go on a cruise.
Oh, well, now that sounds interesting. What port do you sail out of, Miami?
We've been out of Miami. We do different ports. This year we're going out of New Orleans. But, yeah, we usually – we've done several different ports. But, yeah, we have sailed out of Miami before.
Wow, all right. Have you ever thought about going on a KISS cruise where KISS, the rock band, plays on a cruise?
No. I love original KISS. Once they drop the makeup and so many lineup changes, I don't think I can handle it anymore. My wife is trying to get me to take her on a New Kids on the Block cruise, but I don't know about that.
Oh, okay. All right, so you weren't such a big Vinnie Vincent fan. Vinnie Vincent.
No, not really.
All right, Bobo Brazil Jr. or Kurt Hennig?
Bo Jr. or Kurt Hennig? Oh, that's a...
Bobo Brazil or Jr. or Kurt Hennig?
That's a tough choice because I was always a huge Curt Hennig fan from his AWA days on. But Bo was one of my mentors, so I'll give the nod and I'll give my respect and I'll go with Bo Jr.
Wow. All right. Okay. Okay. Jerry Lawler or Roddy Piper?
Oh. See, now you're killing me because that's like the two guys for me right there. I'll go with Lawler. Lawler is right up there, easily my top two or three guys that I'm fans of all time. So we'll go with Lawler.
Wow. All right. Okay. Paperback or a hardcover?
I'm usually a paperback guy.
Oh, okay. All right. Do you have any paperbacks signed by Hoosier Pro Wrestlers?
No. I don't think so. I don't think by any by Hoosier Pro Wrestlers, no.
Do you have any paperbacks signed by any wrestlers at all?
I don't think I do. I have an enormous amount of books, but I don't think I've ever gotten any of them signed. Not to my knowledge.
Oh.
There's a few of them were signed by the authors, but I don't think actually any of the wrestlers themselves.
Okay. What was the last book signing you went to?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been to a book signing. I don't think I've ever been to one.
Oh, okay. All right. No problem. All right, meatloaf or ribeye steak?
Oh, ribeye.
What was that?
Oh, I'm sorry, ribeye. I couldn't know if you didn't. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what my phone's starting to act up a little, but okay. Shelbyville, Indiana, or Charleston, South Carolina?
Oh, Charleston, South Carolina. There was a brief moment in my life where we almost moved to Charleston, South Carolina. I love Charleston. We visited there many times. But I have some memories in Shelbyville working over there for Bo Jr. and the Van Zants and different things. But, yeah, I'll pick Charleston.
Oh, okay. All right. I was stationed there.
Stationed
the Coast Guard. Yes. Oh, very good. All right. And the last one for Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk. Which there are no wrong answers. Porky Pig or Pepe Le Pew?
Oh. We'll go with Porky Pig. Pepe Le Pew is a little forthcoming and aggressive for my taste. So we'll go with Porky Pig.
Wow, all right. Okay. Okay. Well, Dave, have you ever traveled to Chicago to see any wrestling shows?
Yep. Yeah, many times. I worked in Chicago many times back in the day, a few times for Dice and things. But, yeah, I'm going to Chicago for a comic book convention next weekend. But, yeah, I've been up there and I've seen AAW, Ring of Honor, several shows up there.
Oh, okay. Now, is it Comic-Con you're going to?
But it's C2E2. Yeah, it's a kind of – it's actually more of a – I don't know. It's a multi-entertainment thing, but I go for the comic, kind of that comic side of it.
Oh, all right. Okay. Now, how did you do in your NCAA bracket?
I actually did not fill one out this year. This is the first time in, I just did not fill one out. And looking at things now, I haven't actually followed super close. I've had so many things going on, but I think my bracket would have been a bust anyway, so I'm kind of glad I didn't fill one out this year.
Wow, all right. A lot of people, had their brackets busted when Virginia lost.
Yep,
yes,
I know.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, Dave, have you ever given your upcoming guests on your show Facebook homework assignments? Homework assignments.
Nope, not really. They every once in a while, they'll ask what we're going to talk about, and I always just give them just vague ideas. I don't like it to be – I don't like them to prepare and be predetermined. I like to just kind of hear them start telling stories and we kind of go with the flow a little bit if we can. But I like more the spontaneous answers. So I don't really give them a lot of stuff to prep for.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Dave, logistically, how hard is it to get guests on your show?
Have you had to hunt down a lot of people and keep reminding them about their appointments? Or do they, at this point, do they regularly call in and you don't have to search too much?
No. No, usually they're pretty good. I kind of feel like maybe this is the spirit of sign guy giving me my one-upness for the fact that I'm kind of hard to track down and get on and have backed out on him a couple of times. But no, most of them are pretty good. I don't have much trouble. Don't have to follow up with them too much. There's certain guys I have to kind of work a little harder to get on, that particular guys that I'd like to have on. But I usually don't have too much trouble with offers of guys that want to come on and talk.
Oh, okay. Well, now Sign Guy and myself have two wrestlers out here that you might want to interview. One is named Dave Turner, and one is named Chief Atakula Kula, the wrestler from
yep.
Broken Arrow, Oklahoma.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
If you might contact them.
No, I've heard the names. I might be Facebook friends with both of them, but
okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, we may have to see what happens there.
Wow. All right. Okay. Well, you told Sign Guy that Jim Cornette was a huge influence. Have you ever had a chance to meet him?
I met him once. It wasn't at a show. It was just at a, I don't know what it was, some kind of convention thing. It's been a few years ago. But yeah, it was just more as a fan, not as a, you know, as like a coworker or anything like that. We weren't working a show or anything, but, yeah, he was always the guy that I always tuned in to watch, was probably my greatest. And it was pretty easy to tell when I first started managing that I was just stealing stuff from him.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Dave, Sign Guy and myself have interviewed wrestlers from all 50 states, Connecticut, Kansas, South Dakota, and Montana proved pretty hard to get.
Mm-hmm.
Is it one of your goals to get wrestlers from all 50 states on your show?
No, not necessarily. I go with more the Midwest ties. So if they happen to have worked the Midwest but been from another state, that's more power to it, but no, I don't really have a checklist and go at that. I would imagine that, yeah, it would be pretty daunting to get some of those states checked off.
Yes. Okay. Well, all right. Well, Dave, Sean Kemp is producing his own line of Frisbees. Are you going to order one?
Yeah, I might very well. I might just do that. I like to support the local guys, support the area guys. That's a very unique thing. I might be a little disappointed if it doesn't come with teeth marks, but, you know.
Oh, teeth marks. Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, all right. Wow. Well, Dave, I saw your YouTube video, EPO84, and I'm sure that's episode 84, with Dalton Williams and Lonely Lee, Dave Dynasty podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And do you still have referee Sean O'Brien on your podcast?
Yeah, we do. He's on there. Mm-hmm.
And does he do the segment Official Decision? I thought
yep.
that was pretty good.
Yep.
Oh,
yep
good.
He does. Typically kind of gives some of the rundown of the shows he worked from kind of his perspective, you know, with kind of the best seat in the house there in the ring. So, yeah, he's on there, well, pretty much every week. I think there's a few weeks here and there that he's not on. But for the most part, yeah, he's on there.
Wow, that's very good. Okay. Well, at the 10:44 mark of this video or podcast, Sean mentioned IWA Triple Shot, which is a series of three wrestling matches. One of them he mentioned was a Thursday match, Nick Gage versus Michael Elbow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that wrong. However, my question is, have you seen this Combat Zone wrestler Nick Gage wrestle? Nick Gage.
Yeah, I have. Not in person. Online I have, yeah. He's a pretty bad dude.
Yes. He used to be one of the favorite wrestlers
of Crazy Joe Pardini, a wrestling fan from Philadelphia that I did a one-time podcast with called Total Chaos Picard.
Well, okay.
Well, the podcast failed miserably because we didn't have a pamphlet.
Yeah. So it's another one of those, another one of the mythical folk tales of your career, huh?
Oh, yes. Yes. All right, well, do you have any Ringside, the comic strip from Main Event Comics, and are they available on Instagram and Facebook?
I do not. They've not actually started producing those yet. They're very early in their process of beginning it, and I don't think they've actually put any finished work out there yet.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, but I'm very curious to see because, like I said, I'm a big comic strip kind of guy, and I always like those wrestling crossovers and different things into the comic world.
Oh yes, yes. There's quite a good amount of comic strips mm-hmm. out there. Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Well, now on this video that sign guy sent, Ike mentioned that Muncie, Indiana, has a lot of potholes. Is this true?
It does. I'm not in Muncie. He's in Muncie, but I've been up there many times. The road work's pretty shoddy. It surely must be all those college kids out, you know, I don't know, cruising around or whatever it is they do. But yeah, the roads could use some work in Muncie.
Are there any truths to the rumors from my wrestling sources out of Shelton, Washington, that one of your favorite Seinfeld moments was when George Costanza lost his Phil Rizzuto keychain head in a pothole, so he posed as a construction worker so he could dig it up?
No, I'd have to say your sources are incorrect. I believe my favorite Seinfeld moment is the one where Kramer lost his junior mint while watching the surgery.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. Oh, okay. Very good. Okay. Well, at this moment, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy.
All right.
Thank you for playing Bring on the Case, Bring on the Funk.
Absolutely.
You did very well.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, QT. Well, Dave, the Quattro Thumbtack match does exist. I'm going to verify. I was involved in that. So it is out there. I believe you might find footage of it very soon.
Okay. Well, that sounds like some. I'll have to block off an evening to watch that and make sure I'm ready for that emotional roller coaster.
I think so, because it may have been the biggest match ever to happen.
Yeah.
The first
and then
half of that show.
Yeah. Maybe, then I'll have to maybe. I'll have to get with Beast and. And I'll see what his perspective was on experiencing that firsthand.
I'm not sure he totally remembers because he claims concussion from that night. I still say wishy-washy excuse on his part.
Yeah, perhaps.
Well, we got just a few minutes left in the show, and I want to make sure you have plenty of time to plug and promote anything you want. So if you want to say anything to the listeners, promote anything, the podcast, any appearances, any type of merchandise, your favorite barbershop, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
All right. Well, yeah, I got the Dave Dynasty show like we talked about. It's pretty much a weekly thing. Every once in a while we get a little off track, but we got an episode will be coming out this weekend with Jason Maples. He'll be on there. And Gator McAllister. We'll be catching up with him, seeing what he's up to. But pretty easy to find. You can just go to DaveDynasty.com. There's links there for all my social media and to the episodes and everything else. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, et cetera, et cetera. But it's pretty easy. You can find it all at DaveDynasty.com and follow all the links there. I do have a store on Pro Wrestling Tees. There's also a link on the website that people can order some of our shirts if they'd like to. We got a pretty cool Midwest Express shirt that people like. Kind of support the Midwest scene. So But again, you can find all that on DaveDynasty.com and go from there. That's kind of the hub.
Well, Dave, I want to thank you very much for taking time to be with us here today. It's been way too long since our paths have crossed, so hopefully we'll get that rectified at some point soon.
Yep.
And maybe your people can talk to my people. I could, you know, swing by the Dave Dynasty show. It's always been a dream.
Yep, I think that's a definite. We'll have to, we'll definitely have to get you on. And you'll have to make sure when you get Ike on here in a couple weeks that don't go easy on him. He's young and full of energy. Just go at him.
We will take it to him like he's off Charlie going for the last beer.
That's right. Absolutely.
All right. Well, fans, if you have not listened to the Dave Dynasty show, you need to rectify that. Go seek them out on DaveDynasty.com. Go to the YouTube, whatever source you have to get your podcast needs. Dave Dynasty puts out a quality podcast. Ike Isaacs, Mance Warner, Dr. Jerry Graham, Man Bun, all of them very, very good at what they are doing. The show has evolved very nicely. And if you see Dave Dynasty at a show there in the Midwest, stop by, maybe buy him a beverage or two. I'm sure he wouldn't mind that.
Absolutely, yeah. The more adult the beverage, the better.
There you go. So, fans, get out there, support your local independent pro wrestling. If you're up an hour of the neck of the woods, you got some shows up in B.C., and you have Lucha Libre Volcanica tomorrow night at Evolve Fitness. So get out there, support the locals, and we will be back with you Sunday afternoon. We have the return of Garibay out of Idaho. Been a long time since we've talked to Garibay. He will be back. Big things happening for Wrestle Club out of Idaho, so you definitely want to tune in and find out what is new with him. And we will talk to you then.